Hare Krishna. Let me welcome all of you for this class called Invaluable Teachings of Giridhari Krishna for Meeting the Challenges of Life. We will be listening to Krishna Katha with a special focus on what we can learn from this Katha, from Krishna's pastimes, for our own life and for the circumstances of our life. See, if you want to change something in your life, willpower alone is not enough. If you want to change, for instance, the time where you wish to get up and you want to get up earlier, the willpower does not is not alone useful. Not even putting your alarm clock on the right time and buying a super loud alarm clock is useful. What is useful is to create favorable circumstances. Circumstances that will, let us say, facilitate your purpose, your desire, your particular determination. And then it is really very easy. So we will be listening now to Krishna Katha, as we did with our Burijan Prabhu. It's a wonderful, enlivening class. And this creates the right circumstances in our psychology, in our inner mind, so that it will be easier for us to follow up on our desires to be more on the spiritual platform. Let us start now. Let me put here the clock properly. Yes. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Namaste Girirajaya. Namaste Girirajaya. Namaste Girirajaya. Namaste Girirajaya. Hare Krishna. I greet all of you affectionately here from Germany, trying to take you to the foot of Giriraj, the greatest friend, the greatest supporter, and also, as we will see, the greatest protector of his devotee's life. To introduce my little presentation, let me not be shy about a personal insight and a personal conviction also. Although this is something which human reason can never understand, the sacred mountain of Giriraj speaks. Giriraj gives deep insights to our lives, and I will share a personal deep conviction which I got there a little later when we are entering into the katha. But as we are going into this katha, I wish to install this theoretical faith in you that Giriraj, about whom we are listening, can also speak to you. He can give you answers. He can give you directions. In fact, in Vrindavan, you see the Brijbasis. What to do? You see the Brijbasis circumambulating Govardhan and asking him to give them insights. Here's Gokrishna, who has remembered to put another microphone. They go there and they asked him for help in everything that concerns their life. And I have met unlimited amounts of these Brijbasis who tell me their wishes, their questions, were answered by Giriraj. As I will now tell you, Giriraj Katha from a very specific angle, I request you to keep two questions in mind. Questions which might become answered. Where can I take shelter in my life? And what can I do to become free from envy? Envy is that quality in which lust, anger, greed, and illusion take shelter. They all go into this one thing, this envy, and empower it with maliciousness, so that an envious person will not be able to understand even one single word of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This work was composed for those who are nimatsaranam, or who wish to become free from envy. And in this presentation, you will hear about a community with absolutely no envy. So this is the second question. First question, how can I take shelter and where? And the second is, how can I join the community without envy? I will come back to these two questions. They are here. And I will see what we could grasp. What we could get. My dear devotees, most of us are familiar, especially those on this call, are familiar with the pastime. Krishna had convinced Nanda Maharaj to stop worshipping Indra and instead to start to worship Giriraj, the sacred mountain, who supplied the cows with fresh grass. His argument is stated there in the Bhagavatam. He said, "My dear father, our home is not in the big cities or towns. We are cowherd people. And we live in the forest. And our life is with the forests and the hills. Therefore, may a sacrifice for the pleasure of Govardhan hill begin. With all the paraphernalia which we have now collected to worship King Indra, let this sacrifice be done instead." So you must know, this Indra Puja was a very long-standing tradition. People go to traditions, keep traditions, because it brings structure into their lives and order, and thus protects them. But here Krishna breaks a long-standing tradition. He requests his people to disregard Indra, the most powerful being in the universe, and go worship Giriraj instead. This is very, 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 let us say, this is throwing a stone on the porcelain of a tradition, breaking it. And it can only be done if you have faith that something wonderful will emerge from this, and you will not be unprotected. So on. One should be very, very careful if one breaks traditions. It is many, many bad consequences can come from it. So because the Brijbasis had faith in Krishna, they followed Krishna's advice. On the evening before, they all gathered at Manasi Ganga, where we saw this video with the mystical soundtrack, and they put lights around Manasi Ganga. They did pujas there, but their mind was really only fixed on the next day, when they would worship Giriraj according to Krishna's desire, and see what would happen. Would there be any consequences or not? Early morning, they took their bath in Manasi Ganga. They decorated themselves and their cows. They put silver bells on the cows, pearl necklaces, silken cloth. They plaited their horns with gold. When the calves saw that, they jumped in excitement to see how their mothers and their fathers, the cows and the bulls, were decorated. The bulls were also becoming excited, and they mooed, a very deep moo, into the morning mist. They looked, says Jiva Goswami, like great saints who chanted prayers. And then all of them started to move towards the place where the Govardhan Puja would take place, that is towards the area before Anyur. It's a beautiful village which you can visit when you go around Giriraj. And just before the village, there is still the beautiful place. We can just imagine being there. It was a grand procession. All the Brijbasis fully decorated their cows. They were singing. But there was a feeling of anticipation in the air. This feeling spread. And unseen by anyone, Lord Shiva wanted also to see directly how would this turn out. And he came riding on Ganga, on Nandi, with his matted hair, and Mother Ganga was there in his, was there in his hair. The mountains also came, Meru, Dronachal. They all came. Dronachal was the father of Giriraj, and he wanted to also be there. They mixed in personified forms because that's better for interaction with people. They mix in personified forms into the crowd. Everyone, the powerful devatas, the mountains, the Paramahansas came there to see how a tradition was installed, a new tradition to worship Giriraj, and how an old one had to go. That morning, Giriraj, this is how it is described, looked especially beautiful. Giriraj shone. He felt that he knew that now a very specific pastime would evolve. He looked like a young bride on her wedding day. I think you all are familiar with this tradition, which is cross-cultural, that a woman is decorating herself in a special way on her wedding day. And if it's not a bad marriage, she will usually look very effulgent and very happy. Her dharma is now, she's entering now into her Sri Dharma in a specific way. So our Giriraj was also very effulgent. Then there was a ceremony, I will not go into it in detail, where the Brahmanas chanted mantras, and they went very close to Giriraj and picked one particular attractive Shila where they would do their Brahminical activities, like giving him an Abhishek, and at the end they used very soft towels and dried Giriraj. They put a silken cloth over him and a golden crown, and then they looked towards the Brijbasis, the non-Brahman Brijbasis. And all of them surged forward. It's described, it was a surge of humanity which surged forward. And they put flower garlands upon flower garlands over this beautiful Shila. They made auspicious noises with drums, and they used very large cymbals. It made a very beautiful, it's described, a noise. And it became so loud that this joyous noise, which was carried with deep devotion to Krishna and his orders, pierced the layers of the universe and reached the ears of Indra and gave him a terrible earache, because he had a problem. He wanted that he will be worshipped, and now another worship was installed. Oof, there was a real big attack on his ego. He had an earache. Then the Vrijbasis did Pushpanjali. I think you all have seen how in Vrindavan these Pushpanjalis are mainly with rose flowers. They grain all over the Giriraj with grains. And then they made a huge bhoga offering. There were endless varieties of preparations which they brought on in clay pots, in silk tapestries. There were soups, there were breads, vegetables, deep fried things, sour, sweet, salt, bitter, astringent, and so on. And all this was placed in these amazing leaf cups, big leaves, the silk tapestries, and placed before Giriraj. And then finally, they all did their dandavat pranams, and as they were lying on the ground, something happened which is just so wonderful and so amazing, but they were totally unprepared for it. As they were still lying down, they heard a great rumbling in the air, like 100 thunderclaps. And when they looked up from their obeisances, they saw on top of Giriraj a large personality. He was the same size as the mountain. He sat there. He looked like Krishna. Jiva Goswami says he was a mega-sized Krishna. He had come there to increase the face. He had thousands and millions of hands, some were short, some were long, and he started to eat everything which was placed so lovingly by the Vrijbasis in front of him. You know, just imagine, there was you have been before Anyor, and you have maybe used the inner path. It's a huge expanse of land which is there, and all this was covered with preparations. And the tremendous form reached out to everywhere and ate everything. It is described that there were some devotees of Krishna who were so elderly that they had stayed in Nandagram, but they had also followed the instructions of Krishna to prepare for Giriraj something. And these people saw how the long hands and long arms of Giriraj extended right into their rooms, the kitchens, and how it took the preparation away. This was so wonderful for the Vrijbasis that they all shouted in joy. You must understand, they had done the sacrifice for Indra for many generations, and they had now followed Krishna's advice and taken full shelter in Krishna's advice, and they had now offered everything to Giriraj. And then they saw Giriraj was responding, apparently, by taking on this huge form with a swarthy, means blackish complexion. He had golden ornaments and a huge flower crown. He was flowery. Everyone looked on. The calves looked on. The cows looked on. The bulls looked on. And it was just so surprising that they couldn't chew on their grass. The grass was hanging in their mouth. And the calves felt a little slightly insecure. So they hid under the bellies of their mothers. And they didn't speak. No one spoke. There was silence. Then, as they saw this mega-sized form eating all the preparations, Krishna stood up. His beautiful voice was clearly heard as he spoke. He spoke out strong, which was surprising. And he said, "O Venerable Personality, who are you?" At first, the form did not answer. It rumbled like clouds, and the Vrijbasis were, it was such a huge form. They were really a little bit bewildered. They thought, "Oh no, now, what is he going to do?" But then, in a hushed voice, he scaled the volume of his voice down to human proportions, so that they could hear him. With a sound of full of compassion, the divine form responded. "O little boy, with very graceful limbs, and O residents of Braj, I'm Govardhan, the presiding deity of this place. I have appeared to you because I'm pleased by your devotion. Please ask me for anything which your heart desires." And as he said this last, as he spoke the voice, it was hushed and very, how would you say, compassionate. But this sound echoed through every corner of Braj. "Please ask me for anything your heart desires." Indra, who had received for so many long years, and generations, the offerings of the Vrijbasis, had been silent all this time. He had not appeared once. He had enjoyed the offerings. They were for first class milk products, because the wealth there in Braj is cows. But Krishna had responded immediately. He had broken the silence. He had said, "Ask me for anything your heart desires." And here I wish to stop my katha for a moment can reveal to you something personal, something which I have discussed with Burijan Prabhu and Vrindavan Vinod Prabhu at various times. See, we came to Giriraj maybe 20 years ago in all earnestness. We had visited Giriraj in the course of our pilgrimage to Braj quite regularly. You know, everyone goes to Giriraj Govardhan. But I'm always saying it. Burijan Prabhu wrote me once an email where he said, "I have this concept of bringing the devotees to Giriraj and facilitating that they make their own deep experiences there by arranging retreats." And he has been so kind to include me in this effort, and because he knew I was appreciating this area very much, Radha Kund, Syama Kund, and Giriraj, it's all one area really, and had great appreciation, and so we started this, and I have gone for many years, 25 years plus maybe, every year to Giriraj, just every single year, and have stayed there for 1 month on doing, well, that's not true. I have stayed at other places, but at the end of when I became older, I only stayed in Giriraj and his lotus feet and Radha Kund and Syama Kund. And my dear devotees, he speaks. How, you mean? Well, in the Gita it says, "For me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness." I have seen you remember Krishna more. You remember your goal of life more. It becomes more prominent somehow, and he gives insights of a very personal nature. My older brother, I just met him, he asked three questions. One related to the family. Our parents are now preparing for the departure from this world, and you know, related to family matters, and he has received answers. I asked him, "What? In the ear answer?" "Yes," he said. I said, "We are elder, and we are brothers. We can talk." "Is it maybe your imagination, wishful thinking?" He said, "No." Giriraj can also speak through arrangements, and that's what we saw, you know, many, many times in building the Govardhan Retreat Center. I think there will be a presentation on the Govardhan Retreat Center, and it's miraculous coming about. He makes arrangements. That's how he speaks. He speaks through his activities, if you so want. And that is a great, and he speaks in a way that he increases your devotion, like many of you who are on this call, I think, know that you have gone to Giriraj Govardhan and you have gotten personal upliftment in your devotion, no? That you have seen 100%. So yes, Giriraj Govardhan speaks. I once had this question I'm trying to offer an increased sadhana to you. Do you care? I was sitting before Giriraj and chanting, and it was the midday time. This is called the graveyard shift for those who do bhajan. It's very difficult to focus the mind. You're more tired and more lethargic in this time. In traditional circles, you will beg for food during this time when you do bhajan. You use it for some activity. So I was at that time still working on my vow, and I was desperate. Do you care for all of this? And can you please give me a sign if you care? And I came into this mood, which I think you all have felt, is if I could just get a sign, where you break your silence, my Lord, then it would be so much easier for me to continue with strength. Yes, so as this was going on, I was getting into my rebellious mood. please. All of a sudden I hear loud screeches. I look around and I see, the first thing I see is two green parrots, flying up and then going down and attacking. And then I look a second time and I see a black snake who is attacked by the, in the head portion, by the green parrots. This black snake is on its way to me. They are poison snakes. They bite you and it can be fatal. In most cases, it is fatal. And these parrots are clearly stopping the snake as it quickly proceeds towards me to inflict his bite. They looked like German Stukas, little airplanes who attacked. Anyways, let's not get into that. They really were attacking. And this gave me the time to jump up and run. And I run very fast. I put everything into my running. And then I looked back and I could see the snake changed course and went to Govardhan, and the parrots stopped attacking. They had done their job. They had kept the snake away from me, and they saved my life. I thought that was Giriraj's answer, who answered through the ones he supports. He supports parrots, peacocks, all animals, monkeys. Everyone is carried by Giriraj and supported by him. And he had told them, it's a foreign bhakta, he needs some visible proof, so let's protect him, and you go and you take care of the snake. My dear devotees, when you receive an answer, you know that's an answer. I don't know how clear this sounds for you, but that is the nature of spiritual experiences. They are highly subjective. And that's good. They are talking to the person who's involved. Yes. So the bridge Basis saw the mighty form of the Lord. And they heard the Lord saying, Shilosmi, I'm that hill. They saw he's a majestic form of their own Krishna. But they did not think this to be Krishna. They thought he's Lokika Prana Surit, that is a very, very, Surit means friend. Prana means the life force. He's my life friend. In German, we would say as mein Busenfreund. That means he's so close to my heart and myself. And he's Lokika, like an ordinary friend. Lokika means ordinary. They thought he's a friend, like, you know, you may have a friend. He lives next to your apartment or your house, and you are not dealing with him with great awe and reverence. You are just a very free with a friend. You invite him, you knock at his door, say, come on, there's something to eat, I've cooked. It is a very, very close relationship. There is not much formality. And when they saw this huge form, so they thought, oh, Krishna is that little boy that with graceful limbs. Even Radha, who can detect Krishna's presence everywhere, in all forms. Krishna sometimes comes in disguises as a barber, girl, as a pandit, as a poet and musician, as a florist. Krishna takes various disguises when Radha is in Man and is lovingly rejecting him. I will never ever see you again. Then Krishna takes on a disguise to see Radha. And Radha at the end always looks through every single one of his disguises. Through this one, she couldn't look. This is described in Vraj Vilas Stava in verse 75. There was a reason. Krishna wanted to give Radha a boon. He wanted to give her the boon that she could look at him undisturbed by whatever people would think. Radha could just be there, look at that form, undisturbed as everyone did, and see to her heart's content. And later, when he did this again, he lifted the mountain, and everyone was looking at him only, even the cows. So Radha could also look at him and feast her eyes on the beauty of his limbs. This is the second time. Then the deity spoke again. O residents of Braj, I'm not like other deities who prefer to remain aloof from their worshippers. I reciprocated your faith by appearing before you, and now I will eat your food. And Gopal Champu describes it, the giant took handfuls of rice and vegetables from each of the huge piles of food and began to eat it. And in between, he attracted small ponds, lakes, rivers, so that he could have something to drink. In this way, the pools and ponds were all dried up. Wherever Sri Krishna, who had attained the form of Govardhan Hill, stuck out his hand to take some food, all the Brajvasis came running just like chataka birds. You know, the chataka bird flies towards the cloud. So whenever Giriraj put up his hands like this, they were almost like moon beams his hands, the Chataka bird like which Basis came. There's a long description. It is said with his right hand he ate, and with his left hand he always gestured, more, more, more. Finally, the bridge Basis were worried. They didn't have anything more. Everything which they had placed before Giriraj had disappeared already. They had run back to their homes and gotten whatever little items were left there. But the hand was demanding more and more while he ate with another hand. And they did not know what to do. Then they turned helplessly to Balaram. And Balaram had the idea. He placed a tulsi leaf, just one single leaf, before this huge form. And the Lord ate and was satisfied. He didn't demand more any longer. He's satisfied. This shows you the tremendous potency of tulsi. The forest of Vrindavan is named after tulsi because it is tulsi who is so dear to the Lord, so intimately connected to all his pastimes. Even at the Rasa Leela, we hear that Krishna had disappeared from the face of the gopis, and they were looking for him all over the forest of Vrindavan. They first asked the big trees, but then they didn't get any answers, and they said, anyways, you are male and you are conspiring with Krishna. We need to go to the female plants. And they approached Tulsi. Oh, Tulsi, please tell us, where did Krishna go? This habit to go to Tulsi to ask for Krishna is there within all our tradition. You can see here, there is Tulsi's form as Vrinda Devi, the divine goddess of the forest of Vrindavan. And she is one of the five gatekeepers who can allow us entry. Thus we sing, my only desire is to be, to see with these eyes the divine couple, Morai Abilas. Vilas kunya dio vas. I want to come into the kunjas, no? That is our prayer. Yes, I'm looking here. I will have to go a little bit forward, although it's all so sweet, but at the very end of the Govardhan pastimes, the Brijvasis took a rest. After the form had disappeared, suddenly they took a rest. They were all lying down on the ground. And when every one got up, Krishna joined his palms. They were very, very satisfied because they had just experienced a great transcendental revelation, an answer to the question, where is ultimate shelter? It is in Krishna only and in Krishna's instruction. And Krishna had reciprocated immediately so very beautifully, and he will reciprocate more in the future. There is a wonderful verse where Shukadev Goswami reveals how dear this pastime is to him and how much he appreciates the shelter of Giriraj. He says at the end of chapter 26, in the last verse, Deve Vashati Yakya Viplavarusha. And a very nice verse, and then he said, May he, Govinda, the lord of the cows, and the destroyer of Indra's false pride, be pleased with us. With this, he hints at Parikshit Maharaj. He said, You, Parikshit, are also in great danger for your life in 7 days. Whew, you will leave the body. May that Krishna who lifted Govardhan and protected the Vrajavasis from the disturbances caused by hunger, hail and rain arising from Indra's anger, may he also protect us. And what he means is, just like Krishna protected the Brijbasis, we will see that a little later, but you are so familiar with the pastime. At that time, Krishna protects all his devotees, especially Parikshit Maharaj, in the form of the Bhagavad. This Bhagavad is the form of Krishna which personally comes to each single devotee and protects them. This is the very, very important of this pastime. Giriraj shows his devotees, Krishna shows his devotees, as Giriraj, I'm there, I'm accepting your offerings immediately. And Giriraj, Krishna shows as Giriraj, and Giridhari Krishna, take shelter at my lotus feet, follow me only, and I will protect you. In modern times, devotees can find the shelter Krishna very quickly and easily as they make a regular habit to chant his names and to read the pastimes of read the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam protects you. It is here to has come to protect you from the effects of the terrible age of Kali. Devotees or world is now talking about one particular aspect, illness of the age of Kali. That will go also, like all the other things come and go in the age of Kali. And it's not so, if it is what it is. The age of Kali is full with obstacles. But those who read the Bhagavatam, who take shelter under the Bhagavatam, they are protected like the Brijbasis who were protected by Giridhari Krishna, who is here for you in the corner. he has his sidelong glance on all of you. I hope he's pleased to hear this kata. I hope, I'm trying to give my best. And yes, in this age of Kali, he protects us in the form of the holy name and the form of the Bhagavatam. That's the first lesson. The second lesson, which is there, is a society without envy. But I'm very mindful of the time. I want to see with Gaur Krishna if Gaur Krishna has already on his WhatsApp questions. There is, yes. And I wish to answer the question of which is there in this time. From Nandini Rupa Devi Dasi, what a wonderful name, in Delhi. How to relish the pastimes of Krishna? Why do I feel them just as another story? I don't feel the nectar as devotees do. Thank you very much for this very, very nice question. This is really something which needs to be addressed, and I really want to address it. You see, Burijan Prabhu enjoying to talk about Sudama Vibra. We see other presenters laughing and relishing the nectar. We think, what do they feel that I don't feel? Why is my heart so dry? I will answer the question now. You need to know how to extract the nectar. There is a comparison I would like to say. When you get a sugarcane stalk, it's like a, it looks like a bamboo stick, no? A sugarcane stick. There is a lot of juice in there. But for most of us who don't have such strong teeth any longer, like the Brijbasis, we cannot get it out directly by chewing. Most probably all our fillings would leave us if we would do that. We need an iron cylinder and two iron cylinders. They revolve and they press the juice out of the stalk. They take it out like this. So you have seen in Vrindavan these sugarcane wallahs who have these cylinders, revolving cylinders, and they get the juice out and sell it in the juice stall. So in the same way, you need to know how to draw out the nectar of the Bhagavatam. In the second canto, a method is advised that is quoted by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. The first is you need to hear with faith. Just continue hearing with faith, theoretical faith that these things are real. And the second is you need to do it on a regular basis. You cannot do it sometimes and then sometimes not. You need to enter it on a regular basis. And the third is you need to make some endeavor to do it. The endeavor is one type of endeavor is to my mind is going, yes, be attentive. And the second endeavor is you need to render service. Bhagavatam says the taste comes when we serve devotees. I would like to give you an example. When I was a little boy, I was a voracious reader. Already then, I was reading. I did not like to go to school, but I liked to read on my own. And we have in Europe the Heroes' Legends. It's a book, the Greek Heroes' Legends. It's the legends of the Greek heroes, not important. It's translated into the German language by Günter Schwab. You know, this is like the ultimate in reading when you are, you know, everyone has to read it who is supposedly cultured in these areas. At least at my time. Now it's gone. Now everyone has to read Mickey Mouse. But no, everyone needed to read the Greek legends of the heroes. It was with gods and with especially god-born heroes and so on. It was like the European Mahabharata, if you so wish. And I know there were all these names and all these difficult concepts, and I couldn't get into it. I had no taste until one day, I still remembered, I was enough educated in the various concepts, and I was walking around the Olympus and seeing all these things. These things are different. These leelas are different in the sense that normal literature, you make yourself familiar and get the concepts and you can translate the various names and so on, and then boom, you are in. This is spiritual, my dear devotees. You have to have faith in this. You have to increase the faith by repeatedly reading and educating yourself about a world which is so different than your ant-like world. And you do have to endeavor a little bit. You have to give your attention and you have to serve. This is a high, high, high reality. And you know, one day you will wake up really and you will walk in the reality of Govardhan and these pastimes in your spiritual body, which is already there and which will be developed by Shravanam and Kirtanam. Another approach, why we don't have taste. I don't know if you are psychologically interested. I do not know. Nor we can relish only those things to which we are wired. Prabhupada once gave this example that there was a hotel owner who was cutting the head of chickens, and the chickens were running around with blood spurting out of their cut throat, and the hotel owner just enjoyed this like anything because he was wired neurologically for cruelty. His little boy saw the whole scene and screamed in terror. He could not find any taste in this because he was not at all wired in a matching way to cruelty. So we are all, this is what I want to show with the example. I am sorry that this is a very strong example which may hurt your feelings, but we are wired to certain things and it is not possible for us to easily taste something which is totally out of our daily concerns, our daily life. We will require a transformation. And the transformation or rewiring, if you wish, happens when you are entering the sacred space of spiritual practice, the sadhana. And one of the sadhanas, in fact the beginning sadhana, is shravanam, hearing repeatedly. And then the taste will come. Take courage. Most of the older devotees have the same experience. And some older devotees still have no taste because they have not gone through the effort to hear regularly about Krishna. So, yes, this is a sadhana, a practice. Krishna consciousness is not for information alone. It is meant for transformation. Having said this, I know there are more questions, but there's not more time. I have seen in my... No, there is more time. This is 10 minutes. Thank you. 10 more minutes. Yes, there's another question. From Gaura Haridas, is Giriraj's answer to our question dependent on the urgency and intensity of that question? Yes, it is. All types of questions are dependent on the eagerness in bhakti. It says, if there's one prize to get bhakti, it's eagerness. And therefore, there is a colloquial saying in Braj that when you go around Giriraj and ask your question, he might not answer it. He will check, is he coming next year again? Then you go another time or another year again. And he walks by this time behind you and hears that, same question. But will he ask this in a year from now? Again, you're tested. And you're tested a few times if you really mean it. Giriraj is very real. Don't we even... we can appreciate this. Why? Because we also do not like to be in conversations where the other person is just saying something to fill the empty space, but he doesn't really mean it. So Giriraj is absolutely responding to the eagerness. That's the one prize. Prabhupada made his word Krishna consciousness from this verse, Krishna Bhavanamritam. Not this. If there's one price, the verse says, which you can pay to get Krishna Bhakti, it's not pious activities, it's not millions of pious activities, it's only to have it. Here, now, Vaidyanath Das from Hamburg, Germany. So is Govardhan Hill Haridasavaya the best of the servants of Krishna, or is he Krishna himself? He's both. The example could be given of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has described himself as a servant of God. He acted like this. He chanted the holy names, he worshipped the devotees, and he preached Krishna consciousness as a servant of the Lord. He prays as a servant of the Lord. Ayi nanda tanuya, my Lord, please take me out of this ocean of birth and death. He prays as a servant, as a kinkara. I'm your kinkara, your servant, he says like this. Some translate this as kinkari, they enter here into the very wonderful landscape of Radha Dasyam. Yes, servant. But at the same time, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has come as the most merciful of all incarnations. So in the same way, Giriraj has a dual identity, and depending on your particular approach, he will reveal himself as either the servant or the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Raghunath Goswami the Giriraj Shila, he said, see in him Rajendra Nandan Krishna, no? Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is one way to approach him, and the other is the way of the servant. Yeah, there we have 5 more minutes, I'm hearing. Here's another one from Patrick Agarwal in Surat. So many more questions come in. I will give more time in tomorrow for questions. Hare Krishna Maharaj, Pamho, once we are in Vrindavan on the foothills of Govardhan, in the association of devotees, we feel connected to Govardhan and able to relish his mercy. But once we leave the Dham physically, we no more relate to Govardhan in spite of following the instructions we received in retreat. This is my experience from previous retreats. What exactly am I missing here? Please help me, Maharaj. Wonderful. Patrick, if you can do one thing, you can please send your email to my assistant Gokrishna, and I will send you something which I have written about this. It's my New Year's message, but I will now answer it. Pashanta can give you, or the VHE stuff can give you. So this is maybe the greatest common experience of those who go on retreat. It is, Patrick, you are not the only one who experiences a quick and very deep enlivening experience which uplifts you, brings you to a very high level on which you really appreciate and relish Krishna consciousness. And then you leave that retreat, or you switch off your computer and the lecture stops, and you are again, you are in your daily life, your daily life knocks on the door, and there are all these commitments which you have made previously, and you become very, very busy in it. In this, the responsibilities and commitments which you have. After some time, you think, what was that? This was almost like another world in Govardhan, and I almost experienced a total different reality there. What was this, and where am I now? Yeah. Patrick and everyone else, I can only say you need to know the philosophy of following the Dhruva Tara, the North Star. It is when you are in a level of consciousness where you say, this is really my life, this is how I would like the life, then fix that as your goal, as your North Star. Then you need to go into the practical dimension. You need to think, what practical steps can I take to go in this direction? It could be that you say, well, let me read every day the Bhagavatam, or let me, during the chanting, apply all these suggestions, tips, which I have heard from various books. Let me do this. Or you could say, let me render some service throughout the day. Let me be connected. In other words, doable steps into your life. And now comes the third thing, and I consider it almost the most important thing. No, the most important is the fourth step. Now, after fixing up your goal, then determining the realistic step that you want to take, then, Patrick, listen very carefully, you have to create circumstances in which it is possible for you to do what you do. I'm coming back to a very easy to understand example. I think every one of us at times want to get up earlier. We say, enough, I want to get up an hour earlier. I really want to get up at 5 o'clock. Or if you think, oh no, 5 o'clock march, then say 6 o'clock. And if you go, 6 o'clock march, 7 o'clock. Any of us has a time where we think it is better, then I can do my work. It's not enough to make such a determination. You do need to create the circumstances which facilitate that. That is, you need to go earlier to bed and not end your day like many Indians do, eat the main meal, a ton of elephant-like proportions in the night, and then you wonder, why can't I get up at 5 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whatever is the time you want to get up. You have not created the favorable circumstances like this. Now comes the most important thing. You must pray. We are so weak. We are so absolutely small. We need the help of the Lord. What can we do with our little determination? We can go and extend the range of the possibility a tiny little bit. That's ridiculous. But when an ant crawls on the back of a lion, it can jump with the lion a long distance. So when we ant-like living entities connect with Chaitanya Singha, the Lord who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no! Then with his strength, impossible becomes possible. Pray, pray. And do it with urgency, with the conviction that alone I cannot do anything. My dear devotees, my time shows me that I'm up. Yes, we are now taking you to another holy place. We will take you right to the forest of the Govardhan. It will eventually be our forest. You know, the Govardhan Retreat Center was given a very nice place in that forest in Braj, where we can have our sanghas and so on. And we will go there, not in a normal way, we will go there by dancing. So this is called dancing through the forest of Vrindavan. Dance in your mind. Dance, oh dance, and sing more. Thank you very much for your attention. It was a real joy to share all this with all of you. And yes, see you for the next session of Jagatarini. Start after we have danced through the forest. Maybe we will come to rest at one of these. Her session is called The Trees Want to Tell Their Stories. So thank you very much, and Hare Krishna.